Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 629 of 60MW. I'm Dave.
And I'm Tom.
And this is the Decade of Decadence show for March and April 2026. And Tom, before we even start with anything, and I can see you. I need to hook my camera up so you could see me. But in a way, it's a good job you can't see me with this one, because you would see the expression on my face, because I'm about to start the show by dropping a bombshell. Any long-time listeners, if this is going into your ears right now, I would advise you that if you're driving to pull over and stop, if you're operating heavy machinery, good Lord, please step away. If you're stood up, sit down, lie down preferably.
Because, just get comfortable.
Just get comfortable. Because, mate, May the 25th, tickets are booked. And I'm going to watch in the cinema for the very first time E.T.
No. In a cinema? What?
In a cinema. So, of course... While you just take that in for a second, mate, I'll just send the paramedics around to your place with a defib. So, yeah, you know, I've said for years and years, well, obviously for like over 40 years, I'm never going to watch it, which we'll get into in the next show, because obviously we'll be talking about it after I've seen it. We'll get into all the history of it in the next show. But I've said for quite a few years that the only time I'd watch it is if I got any interview time with either Steven Spielberg or Drew Barrymore. Well, obviously, I haven't got any of those two things. But I did see that just for one showing, I think it's 7 p.m. on May the 25th, it's showing in Cineworld in Broughton, which is like a 20-minute drive from us. And I figured, you know what? If I am going to watch it, I'm going to watch it at the cinema.
Wow.
So there we go.
This is huge. You just, yeah, wow. After all the, I mean, yeah, I know some multiplex cinemas in the UK are doing Spielberg seasons up till Disclosure Day comes out. But yeah, I mean, I saw E.T. was on, you know, was part of these seasons, but it never even crossed my mind you would go.
Yeah, Tina was kind of shocked when I said to her, can you book tickets for the cinema? And she said, yeah, it's E.T. Yeah, she almost fainted.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be, you say we'll talk about it in the next episode. I think it's going to be the entire next episode will be devoted to the history, the lore of you not watching E.T., why you didn't, all the whole backstory, then a blow-by-blow account of what you thought of it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow, I don't even know what you're, that's a thing, you know, there's sometimes with you, like, Dave will love that, Dave will hate that, you know, that sort of thing, you know. I have no idea whether you'll love or hate it or not. I mean, there's too much. I mean, I know you'll go in open-minded, but yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I can't see you just being like, that's right.
Yeah, just to
imagine if you see it. Wow.
So yeah, wow. Photographs will be taken for you, and a full report. I mean, obviously, you'll hear from me. You know, we'll have a chat after we've been and so on, but... Yeah. For everybody listening, we'll take a bit of a deep dive into the whole experience in the next show. There. Wow. I just thought I'd start off the show with that one.
Yeah. I mean, I did see the BFI showing it in June.
Mm.
I got the brochure today. Yeah. If it's early June and it's before we record, I might go and see it as well, just to keep have it fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But wow. Wow, I mean, yeah, but that's, you know, me going to see E.T. at the cinema, it's nothing, doesn't matter. But, yeah. God, what a, cool.
So, yeah, first time viewing cinema. We shall see.
44 years, I think, 82, wasn't it? So,
yeah, it has been a while, mate. I've stayed away from it till now, but the time has come.
You've been very stubborn.
I've been exceedingly stubborn. Yeah, go on. I'll hand it over to you. I need to recover myself just from even saying that I'm going to watch E.T.
Well, yeah, even that's a big step. Yeah, even if you bail on it, this is a huge step forward.
Yeah, there's progress being made.
Well, I haven't got too much because I have some lengthier things. But in March, as I mentioned on the last show, start of March, went to the Hammersmith Apollo. I actually went to the Hammersmith Apollo twice in about a week, but the first time was to see David Byrne live, which was, as you might expect, and as I was hyping, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a cheap ticket. It was a very, I have not disclosed to many people how much the ticket was, but it was one of the VIP ones. And I was just like, this is David Byrne. It's more than just a gig. It's like a, like his experience. So, got some freebies. I got a book, which was at one point supposed to be signed, but then it was no longer signed, which is like a photo book of stuff he's taken on tour, photos he's taken on tour. Don't know exactly what I'm going to do with it. I'm just looking at it now. It's on top of a wardrobe at the moment, on top of a suitcase, just out the way. So yeah, I got that. Got a tote bag, just some other bits and bobs. Got an amazing seat, and what a show! His solo stuff. And it was about 50-50 solo stuff and Talking Head stuff. And it was just incredible.
I bet not it even, was.
Yeah, not even the over-eager kids doing the... Well, no, they weren't security, but they were just working at the Hammersmith Apollo. Not even... So basically, the whole thing was like, David Byrne comes on at a pre-record before the gig and says, keep photos and videos to a minimum. To a minimum.
Hmm.
But in Hammersmith Apollo, they have signs up saying strictly prohibited. I'm like, yeah, I don't think you've got the right end of a stick there. But they were doing it like they were just marching up to people. You know, it's such a celebratory gig, you know, people dancing along to like Once in a Lifetime and Life During Wartime, all this sort of stuff. People just boogieing in the aisles. and they were kids in their little high-vis jackets, just like scowling at people. Yeah, it's just like obvious, you know, and then everyone was just like paid exact heed to David Byrne's words. They kept it to minimum. Very quick, whoop, up, down. Yeah. I think I saw one person very do like a 10-second video or 20-second video, something like that. I did one or two, but I just covered my phone screen.
Yeah.
So it's not getting in anyone's way. I just held like just a black object up in the air. but yeah, like most of it, I was just lost in it. It was like, especially during Life During Wartime, which is my favorite Talking Head song. And oh my God, just what a guy. What a guy. Loved it. Loved it. Would recommend. I think he's doing a couple of festival dates in the UK like this year. And he's still touring in the States. But yeah, if you get a chance to see David Byrne live, my God. It's a show because he has a band, but they're all sort of like coffee instruments attached to them. Like percussionists and guitarists do anyway, but you know, all that sort of thing, and they're all in like these like jumpsuits, and they're like, you know, they've got like dance numbers with the songs as well. It's just these big screens for the incredible incredible show. Yeah. And then I was back a few days later to see, because I haven't done it, I think you have, Dave. Well, you have, I think you spoke about it last time, one of these like movie in concert things.
Yeah
It was Twilight, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, the last one, yeah. Yeah, done a few. Yeah.
So I hadn't, actually. The nearest I got was, To Live and Die in L.A., because I don't know if I mentioned it, Dave, but I went to Los Angeles and I saw Wang Chung do the entire score to Live and Die in L.A. whilst I was in L.A.
That was that okay? Was that, you know?
Yeah. It was a way to pass for you.
While we're on that, I noticed just the other day that Arrow are releasing the 4K of it.
Yeah, well, while I was in LA...
You bought it.
I went into Amoeba Records in LA and bought the... I stopped doing the voice note because I can't remember who put it out. The same disc Arrow put out, basically.
Yeah.
It'd been out in the States for a while. Who was it? People did the Columbo box set. Kina Lorber, that's it. Yeah, therefore, can I was just like, and I even took it to the gig just in case they could sign it, but they didn't. But I still took it to the gig, so it came with me.
Well, that's it. Yeah, and you bought it in LA, so
yeah,
even better. So, still.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, if you get a chance to buy the 4K of To Live and Die in LA, just go for it, no matter what country it's from. I did Terminator 2.
Oh wow! I bet that was surely was good.
Yeah, oh, that was very good. Yeah, it was like with like lots of like keyboards and like some of big gongs and like big massive like, you know, what those drums, those huge round wooden drum things, and they've got the people with like two massive like bits of wood just going boom boom
Oh,
boom, you know, and
yeah.
yeah, just like, but yeah, so yeah, it was really good. Yeah, the whole film played out. I'd only seen it last December, like, but it's never too long before you see Terminator 2
Oh,
anyway.
yeah,
But
exactly.
yeah, absolutely no problem with watching it again. And then yeah, it was just incredible with a, you know, you didn't know where to look. You're like, I think I looked more at the band than I did the film
Yeah.
because I'd seen it, and it's Terminator. It's like I've watched that film more than any other film, and yeah. But then sometimes I sort of drifted up to the screen. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, they're playing this live. So it's, but yeah, no, really, really good. I think it was the first time anywhere in the world that they'd done it. So I would only assume that it was they'll take it to the States and other places or elsewhere in the UK. But yeah, really recommended. And yes, I'm not like bitten with a fever to go and do loads of these, but yeah, I'd definitely go to another one.
They're good, yeah. I've seen, Twilight was with my daughter, and that was with an orchestra. Jaws was with an orchestra.
Yeah, that was good.
And but the best one, obviously, was Dawn of the Dead with Goblin playing the music. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I went to see Goblin and they were going to do that, but they binned it off and they just did a greatest hit set, which I had no problem with that because
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like they played a bunch of stuff of Dawn of the Dead anyway, but then they played a load of other stuff. So yeah, but yeah, I mean Jaws, I bet that was good. I saw when I went to the proms last year, they did Jaws at the end, and that was just the main theme was like great. So God, imagine watching a film.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
like.
actually, as well, before I forget, while we're on the subject of Jaws, there was a news piece here, because of course anybody that doesn't know, like, I'm in North Wales, and it came on the news that in Conwy, which isn't too far from us, there's a guy who has recreated the Orca. He's called it the Orca 2.
I heard about this.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, the detail in it is incredible. It's like being on the Orca, everything, even when you go inside it and all the little things. It's very good attention to detail. So you can book it online. I think it's called, and I could be wrong, I think it's called sharkboat.com or .co.uk. And you can book it for an hour at a time, and you have no more than four people, so up to four people can go for an hour, and it's £90 for the hour. If you're lucky, depending on the weather and so on, you might get taken out onto the water, but you can film as much as you want, you can take as many photographs as you want. The guy is dressed up as Quint. He does the whole speech. The Indianapolis speech. You can have a sing-along with all the songs from the film. You can do anything on it. But it is like, you can go in the shark cage.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. If nobody knows about it, yeah, we quite fancy going to it because it's not too far from us. So maybe this summer we might take a trip there. That'll be pretty
Yeah,
good.
that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, yeah, if we can, obviously, we're still hoping that you can get up this way. Maybe we might do it
Yeah.
when you're here and we can get onto the
Yeah.
Orca.
Yeah, I'd be well out for that. Yeah, no, and yes, I'll be on my way to Wales soon, I'm sure. First time in a long time.
Yes, definitely overdue. Yeah, a good catch up and record in person, of course.
Of course.
Sorry, it went totally, took us totally off the
Yeah,
subject.
I think I'd finished actually, so.
Well, I think while we're on the subject of music, unfortunately, me, you, Tina, we booked to see Sammy Hagar, and that's not going to happen this summer now, is it?
No, unless we want to pay considerably more, which is basically what's happened. So if you
Oh, I think we were booked for Manchester. I can't remember if it was the arena or the new like co-op place, but either way, we got tickets for there. Joan Jett and Support, was it Joan Jett and Extreme, if I remember rightly?
maybe for you. I think I just had Joan Jett and a smaller band, but
Yeah, I haven't seen him since I think it was 81, 82, the Standing Hampton tour. I hadn't seen him since then. Tina had never seen him live. Very excited to watch him. Until the email came through that, those dates had been cancelled.
Yes. Yeah, similarly, the O2 had also been cancelled.
Mm.
And the reason given was, very London-centric reason given, that he and his band had played in Las Vegas, and they played at a new smaller venue in Las Vegas, which was like had not the dome globey thing, but it was very much lots of new technology, you know, for their show, and they wanted to carry on doing that. So they've decided to, instead of playing the O2 in London, as I say, this is a very London focused press release, they would play three nights at the BA, British Airways Arc, which is a new 3,800 capacity venue opening in London in June, I think. Obviously, the O2 can go up as a 20,000, so it's a big drop,
mm-hmm.
Even over three nights. And, of course, this also included Manchester, which ended up going to the Apollo, which is not a high-tech brand new venue,
no,
at all. No. Neither is Wolverhampton Civic Hall. So basically, he was doing arena level buildings. Leeds just cancelled. No, I think. This would be like, oh, it's ticket sales, and isn't it? And yeah, it was ticket sales. Yeah. Like, he is not. I mean, when they said the O2 for him, I was like, oh, that's fucking big for Sammy Hagar.
Mm.
In the UK, obviously, he's very big in the States. But yeah, you know, so you ask him, oh, why aren't you still going? Did you try and get tickets for a new one? Well, in the O2, we can talk about your tickets in a minute, Dave. In the O2, I had a £75 ticket before fees, which took it to 91, and they were not the cheap seats, not the cheapest seats, but off to the side.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the cheap seats, can't even call them that, really. The ones up at the top of the pack would be like 50, 60 quid. The cheapest one in this new venue was £110 before fees. It's just like, you're having to cancel these arena shows because of low ticket sales, and you're charging more for. And I think that they'll probably get away with it. You'll probably sell enough. If they don't sell these places out, they'll sell enough to make it doesn't matter. But it's just the greed.
Hmm.
So, what was your? I'm only assuming that the tickets were very expensive for the Manchester Apollo, more expensive than.
Yeah, and it also because of the way that the dates worked out, because we booked to see Def Leppard as well. And the way it's worked out now with the Manchester date, it's two consecutive nights, and it's just, we can't do it, I'll be honest. Like, we're too old to go to get back into to Manchester. It wouldn't be so bad if it was, I don't know, Chester, which isn't too far from here, but Manchester back into two nights running for gigs.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Just couldn't do it, and with the price. And then I think it's the Apollo, I'm assuming they're not going to put seats in or anything, because it's like a theatre anyway. It's all be stood up, and Tina can't stand up for it.
I think there were seats in for these BA Arc ones, but they do take them out, but I don't know. I mean, regardless of that, it's just... You know, they've jacked the price up. It's just a piss take. And I mean, I know it has come out. And I mean, it was about Springsteen, actually. The artists do control to some extent the prices. And Hagar is like a legitimate millionaire. He's like one of the sole people who have actually been sensible, you know, of 80s rock stars who've actually been sensible with their money. He had the tequila brand, which he sold for millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's got a chain of restaurants. He's invested very well. Like he, you know, I think Gene and Paul from Kiss, you know, they're similar. You know, they've been smart with their money, whereas, you know, most 80s rock stars, it just goes up their nose or something. You know, it's But it's just like it makes it smart even more. It's just like you're a millionaire, mate. And you're just, you know, you're treating, you know, like obviously people are just, you know, people won't care and they'll just pay. You know, I could have afforded the 40 or 50 quid extra. But I was just like, no, you're charging a ticket to sit on a balcony at this place halfway back, 142 quid before fees. Like, I will go and see. There's an artist, you know her, Dave, called Chez Kane.
Yes.
Who I saw do an acoustic show with our good pal Rob earlier this month. She's doing her tour, which is hits London at the end of May. That ticket is £27. I'm going to have a very good night watching her. Mm-hmm. LA Guns are playing at the end of October in London. The tickets there are about 35. I will, when I get my refund, I will just be buying these tickets and I'll probably have enough left over for another similarly priced ticket. So yeah. I will be right. And as for the day, I will just do something else that day. There's no FOMO from, even though like he probably won't be back. Like
I would be really surprised if he ever comes back for gigs in this country again, which is all the more galling that, okay, I figured this would be, oh, this will be the last time we'll see him. It has been 40 plus years since I first saw him. I mean, yeah, good. And then all this happened. It's like, no. And it really does smack. I mean, there's no conclusive proof. I don't know if there ever will be, but it really does smack of, ticket sales weren't very good. I mean, it's happened so many times in the past with bands, and it's just, and not obviously none of them ever saying, well, we've not sold enough tickets, but it was kind of obvious, as you said, that for over here, unfortunately, his popularity isn't as much as it is, you know, especially in America. And I really love Sammy. You know, I bought his music on release way back when, and I think he's great, and he still is really, really good. And
He's one of those like who are in their 70s now, but still sounds great.
Oh yeah, he is. It's awesome.
But I just cannot fund the greed of it. Like, you know, and this is, you know, not only like we're saying, this will probably be the last time he plays over here, but this is the first time that he's played over here, like, and done like Van Halen solo stuff since like the mid 90s. So this is like would have been a real, you know, rare thing to see. But like, I just, you know, instantly was like, no, don't care.
Yeah. You know,
stopping really. You've got Def Leppard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing. They've still got it.
100%. Yeah.
Don't fuck over their fans. So, I will say, though, with downsizing and ticket sales, like I saw the Doobie Brothers at the O2 last year, and similarly, you know, they're not massive in the UK. They're bigger in the States, but not massive in the UK. And they did just promos on their tickets. And, I mean, it was still, like, not the fullest I've seen the O2, but it filled up. And I think I had a really good side ticket, side view ticket, for, like, 30, 35 quid. And they played. They came and they played the venue they said they were going to play. So, you know. There we go.
Oh, well.
I don't know exactly what my point is with that last bit. But, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're both disappointed with it, obviously. And but, hey, like you said, you've got two gigs you got to go to. And money left over for hopefully a possible third as well.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Yeah.
Well, I think after following that, let's get all the bad shit out of the way, and it's time for the Grim Reaper, mate.
You might be a king or a little street sweeper, but sooner or later you dance with the Reaper.
I have one person on the list, and unfortunately, it is the late, great Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I mean, my God. I don't know, man. It's Chuck Norris. It was shocking. Like, a titan of 80s action films and our hearts. God, I don't even know. Where do you even start? You know, obviously I knew we were talking about him tonight, but I was just like, I still can't really believe, like, Chuck Norris died.
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, I don't even know. I still don't really know what to say. It's just, yeah, he's, I mean, God, what was the first Chuck Norris film that you saw, if you remember?
It was A Force of One.
Oh.
Mm, going back a bit. That was, and then, yeah, sort of virtually as near as damn it, everyone since then, be it either on video or at the cinema. I've seen a few at the cinema. Most, to be fair, were on video back in the day when they were coming out. And it's also because me and Tina have been going through franchises and rewatching ones. You know, we've done like, you know, the Alien movies and Harry Potter and loads and loads of different ones. And we're, at the moment, we're near the end of rewatching the Fast and the Furious ones. And because we've never seen number 9 or 10. Is it? I forget. We have not seen from 9 onwards anyway, however many there are now. I don't know.
36.
Yeah, that would not surprise me whatsoever. But as we were going through, Tina said, oh, the next lot of films, she said, I fancy watching, is going through Chuck Norris films. And she's, now let's get it right, there's a lot that she hasn't seen. This will be first time viewing for her, mate.
There is some, there's some interesting stuff there, more so, I would say, in some respects, than, you know, some other 80s action stars, you know, like, you know, you talk like Silent Rage, for example, you know.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Like, almost a slasher movie, you know, but Chuck Norris is in it. The same could almost be said for Hero of Terror as well. That's sort of got a slight sort of vibe like that. Well, I suppose Bronson, actually, he did some, you know, he did like 10 to Midnight. That was quite slashery. But yeah, no, he it was a really interesting run of films he did in the 70s and 80s, Chuck Norris. And a bit into the 90s, I guess, you know, there's Forest Warrior and the Sidekicks as well, which is,
oh God, yeah.
Love that film. First 4K I own was Sidekicks, I believe.
Wow.
But yeah, it's the first one I ever saw was Invasion USA, which still holds. I think it's the reason why it's still my favourite, because it's like my first. And it just felt. I mean, I've probably said this about a few Chuck Norris films, but Invasion USA feels like the quintessential Chuck film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just big, canon, 80s. I'm looking at. I've got this French Blu-ray, which is all made up in like a video case. I'm just looking at it now, the poster of him with his two Uzis. Like in front of a Capitol building and all of that. It's just like, oh, what a picture. A picture. It's a film where like Richard Lynch and Billy Drago both play bad guys. It's like, oh, got it all. but yeah, what's your favourite?
Oh, God, that's a good question. Oh, wow. I've got really fond memories of all of the Missing in Action films because I used to watch, me and my dad used to watch those a lot because they were his favourite, of Chuck Norris. So we watched those quite a few times on video back in the day. I really like Invasion USA, of course. Delta Force 2 is quite bonkers.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Oh, I mean, there's too many. You could put on virtually any of them and you're going to, you're going to be entertained because, you know,
that is true.
It's Chuck Norris. And he is one of those that, I mean, there were memes obviously that came up because, you know, Chuck, obviously there were so many memes about him and memes appeared about him, how he's not dead and this, I can't remember any of them. Quite a few made me laugh. And I'm sure he would have appreciated them because he sort of embraced.
Oh, he did.
Those, I mean, memes about him.
He did seem to, and I can attest to this firsthand, I guess. He did seem to like legitimately love his fans. Like he did, like, yeah, he seemed to really embrace the, I think it's like his kids or his grandkids got him into the meme thing, the Chuck Norris facts and all of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like, of course, I mean, this is retelling a story that, you know, of course, a few couple of years ago, I met him.
Yeah, yeah.
At one of these convention things, and he was he was just so lovely. Like, I I still, you know, like things, you know, when you get older, things sort of fade a little bit in your memory and stuff. But this, I can still remember just, you know, because it was quite expensive to me. Like, it was over £100. So I was just like, well, it's a photo and autograph, so I'll get a photo. And it was probably the best photo I'm in ever. So it was lucky. I just look spot on with the mullet and the shirt and the tash and everything. I was looking good that day.
And you were next to Chuck Norris. I mean, come on.
Maybe that was a glow up, just being in his presence. You know, maybe I look like dog shit. But I was still next to Chuck Norris. And when we did the 80s action hand grab, that just, you know, boosted me up.
Magic happened.
But I went in there and he was just like, hey, buddy, great to meet you. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I was just like, hey, Chuck, you know, it's great to meet you. He goes, the pleasure's all mine. And then we just did the 80s, like, handshake, predator handshake. And I dared to right under his shoulders. And, oh, my God. But, yeah, he was just, it was a very brief 30-second thing. But it's just that interaction. And he just made you, you know, he looked legitimately like happy to see people who, you know, were such big fans, you know. So it's a real shame, but he leaves a lot of good films behind, and just some classic 80s action moments. Obviously no one's ever going to accuse him of being the greatest actor, and he said so himself, but what an icon.
Yeah, he delivered on entertainment, that's for sure. And that's what we want, you know, and he did it.
He will be missed.
Yeah. Well, I've got, I'm just looking at some notes now. I've got a little bit more news about the Rambo prequel, which is being filmed at the moment. David Harbour cast as Troutman.
Really?
That's
interesting.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
That's interesting. I can see it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's quite gruff and interesting. Yeah. I still don't know about the whole concept of it, but sometimes even if it's like a concept, you're like, why are they bothering? Then they drop a bit of casting and that. Okay, actually, that's quite interesting.
Yeah. I'm obviously, you know, I'll watch it. I could be pleasantly surprised. I always go back to the Dawn of the Dead remake because the original is my favorite film. Then they announced the remake, and I was just like, what the hell are they doing? And I really enjoy the remake. I don't, you know, it's not a patch on the original, but I really enjoy it. It's a good film. This may well be a good film. I hope it's a good film. I really do. I hope it's a great film. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every film you go and see, you sort of hope for that. But yeah, especially when it's, you know, a Stallone remake or remake.
Well, no, prequel. It's all about, John's days in Vietnam. So, I don't. Yeah, we await to see what happens with that. I've got another note as well. We're talking about E.T. at the cinema. On May the 13th, again over here in the UK, of course, there's a double bill coming into the cinemas for 1 week, and it's Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick. Double bill.
Nice. I heard they're doing another one. So
I've heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one, Top Gun Maverick, when they did that. Yeah, I don't think many people were expecting it to be as good as it was. So.
Yeah, exactly. So that'd be good. People that haven't seen it or want to see it again at the cinema.
Double bill as well. Yeah.
Yeah, May the 13th onwards for a week. Check your cinemas and see what happens.
Check your local listings.
Oh, yeah. I have got a couple of 80s films that I've watched that I'd just like to briefly talk about as well.
Of course, yes.
Oh, and before I forget, one other thing, before we go into the films, I've got a YouTube channel to recommend, which only, I'm just looking now, it went online 8 days ago as of recording today on the 27th of April. The channel is called FFF 80s. The description, I'll read the description from YouTube. Welcome to FFF 80s, your home for the decade that defined modern cinema. From neon-soaked crime streets and synth-driven thrillers to horror, practical effects and high-stakes emotions in a first love story, we celebrate the 1980s in all its shining glory. Our library features high-quality, full movies across every genre, indestructible action heroes, spine-tingling slashers, heartfelt coming-of-age comedies, and mind-bending sci-fi. It's the ultimate destination for nostalgia, built for those who lived through the VHS era and those discovering the magic for the first time. Plus, stay tuned as we expand our vault to include classic 80s TV shows. Enjoy our selection of movies from the 80s available to watch for free, all legally licensed from the finest distributors. The first one that they put on, the title of it is Larry Hagman in American Eagle.
I have found this. You might see me on the camera looking at my phone. It's because I'm looking this up and subscribing to them immediately. Larry Hagman in American Eagle, old school action, the 1980s way.
Yeah.
And just for variety, a piano for Mrs. Cimino. Bette Davis's strength will inspire you forever. And then a two-parter. Maybe this was a TV movie. The Mannions of America. Pierce Brosnan lives the American dream. There's part one and part two, both 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I've seen this one, actually. Loophole. Martin Sheen and Albert Finney. I've watched it. Was it earlier this year or late last year?
Ah.
Bank robbery, London. Yeah, it's right. So, yeah, subscribe the heck out of that. Nice one.
There we go. Well, good. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they put online. So it's always good channels like that, and especially with this one being dedicated to the 80s and TV stuff going to go on there and movies. So, yeah.
Lovely. Excellent.
And if you do subscribe and if you comment on there, let them know that we sent you there. That'd be good. Right. Movies. Two. I said I was going to talk. So the first one. Briefly going to talk about, I wouldn't recommend it, although maybe I would. So I watched this one on YouTube and it was 80 minutes long and I knew it was cut, right? I knew there was, I knew it wasn't like the full version. I didn't realize how heavily cut it was. So I watched the version that was 80 minutes. On IMDb, this movie is listed at 1 hour and 33, 93 minutes.
13 minutes cut.
13 minutes cut.
That's a lot.
So apparently, reading the IMDb synopsis and reviews and stuff, everything that was cut was nudity and all the gore and all the violence.
So
all the fun stuff. All the fun stuff, yeah. And I think
80 minutes of talking.
It was 80 minutes of talking. So I watched that thing, like John Vernon is in it. I'd never seen it before. Sybil Danning is in it. Woody Strode. Jungle Warriors. And I will watch out wherever I can find like the uncut version to rewatch it. But I want to mention it because I put on my Letterboxd review. I forget the exact wording. But it is definitely the worst theme song, which they play at the beginning and the end, I have ever heard in my entire life. The only way I can describe it, you know, sometimes at night and you hear like two cats fighting or something.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But not cats.
Foxes.
Foxes. Even worse. Well, they're fighting or fucking. I don't know which, but it's awful.
Well, this theme song makes that sound quite tuneful.
Like a lonely way. I'm in. nothing but your heat.
It is terrible. It really is terrible. So, yeah, I wouldn't recommend the film. Oh, like I say, maybe with the uncut version, maybe I would. But yeah.
I mean, the uncut version, there's a danger, 13 minutes extra, that they may just slam in the music again. They do that when they've got a song and they, you know.
Yeah. If they've paid for the rights to it and they go, yeah, we need our money's worth for this. And just, but it is on YouTube. Anybody listening, if you want to nip on there, type in Jungle Warriors, just listen to the theme and then get back to me. I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole because I thought it was Wendy O. Williams, who I do like Wendy O. Williams, don't get me wrong, but I thought Wendy O. Williams shouldn't be singing like a ballad like this because she cannot do it. This sounds awful. And then, so I watched the whole movie, got to the credits at the end, and I forget the name of the lady that sung it, but it wasn't Wendy O. Williams. So I thought, right, I'm going to listen. I'm going to type her name into YouTube and listen to some of her songs just to see if she is as bad. She was all right. She was all right. So I don't know if she was...
This is film brought out the worst in there.
Definitely she was hungover or something recording this because it is pretty bad, mate. So yeah, Jungle Warriors, let me know what you think of the theme song. Moving on to a film, a good film, and I know you've seen it because you've got it down on your letterbox from 1980, and I'm going to recommend this to anybody that has never seen it before. Tina bought the Blu-ray of it, and we watched it on Blu-ray. Harlequin.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Harlequin with Robert Powell, David Hemmings. The IMDb synopsis, an enigmatic faith healer who appears to possess genuine magical powers and a political fixer vie for influence over a senator and his family. This is, visually, there were so many, whoa, and what the fuck? And everything about the story of it, the acting is great. And, I mean, you've got to give props to Robert Powell with the costumes that he wears in this film.
Yes.
They're incredible. And the story is bonkers, but bonkers.
Yeah, it's a mad film, but...
In a good way, isn't it? It's bonkers in a good way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would recommend, if you've never seen Harlequin, give it a watch. And it's not a long film as well. I'm just looking... Hour 35. It doesn't outstay its welcome.
Yeah.
You've got no idea what's going to happen next, which is always good. Because, quite literally... anything can happen next, and it does.
Yeah, pretty it much. Does.
So yeah, that's the two movies. Have you got anything sort of either from the 80s or
I mean God, I was just looking through my letterbox since which is a very good way of making sure remember which films from the 80s, and I was like, not much, too many from the 80s. When I was, it's all like cozy comfort 70s stuff I'm watching. I mean, obviously we know my TV habits these days, but yeah, I've just been watching like the airport films and stuff like that.
Nice.
I mean, Chuck Norris films aside, obviously watched quite a few of them since he passed away. Did we ever talk about 10 to Midnight on the podcast in any incarnation of a Bronson film?
Not off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Yeah, I know I referenced it earlier. I mean, I'm saying it was a bit like a slasher film, and I mean, it very much is. And watched that last month again. It's the best Bronson canon film. It's just a sleazy, uncomfortable film with Bronson shaking a fleshlight at somebody at one point. It's everything you want. You've got a bad guy that runs around naked most of the time. It's gory. It's cliched. It's Bronson at his height of his elderly powers. Yeah, it was on Prime. I mean, it's one of those ones. I think it's because it's MGM, it will come back round again. I think it just went off, but it is top notch Bronson. If you've not seen it, so I'm 1983, and I think it's about an hour and 45 minutes. It doesn't really outstay its welcome either, but 102 minutes. So yeah, it's a good one. If you've got an itch for an 80s Bronson and you don't want to watch one of the Death Wish sequels,
mm-hmm.
10 to Midnight is the one.
Yeah.
And the only other film I was going to talk about is I was at the Nickel at the end of last month, and they're doing a sort of ongoing sort of like when animals attack season. And they did a double bill of a film I know we did talk about some time ago, of unknown origin.
Oh, yes. What a great film.
Yeah, with Peter Weller versus Rat. And they followed it up with Slugs.
Oh, another one that I love too.
Which I hadn't seen, by the director of Pieces. And if you've seen Pieces, you sort of know what you're getting yourself into. But yeah, it's based on a book, which I have since read. Surprised to see
Sean Hudson, isn't it? Is it Sean Hudson?
Sean Hudson, yeah. The book's fantastic as well. It's like, it's set in the UK. It's in a village near Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, I was on the train to Norfolk the other week, and I just read it on the train, on the tube train there and back. It's only a couple of hundred pages, but it was just so much fun. And there's a sequel, which I also have, called Breeding Ground, where it's set in London. The slugs come to London. Oi, oi, slugs die out. But the film is, I mean, it's a trashy book, and it's a trashier film. It's set in the States, and it's just flesh-eating slugs.
Yeah.
Lots of tense scenes with lettuce, which is quite
funny. I was going to mention lettuce to you. Because there is, yeah. any director that can make a scene with lettuce tense is all right with me.
Watching it in the Nickel, like with a bunch of people gasped when the lettuce came out. There's a scene where a woman's at the kitchen sink and she's like washing the lettuce, but someone gasped when they saw the lettuce. It was like, oh no. So yeah, it is great fun. Somehow it evaded me. It's because it's exactly my sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it says it might be, I don't know if it's Arrow or something similar Blu-ray release, but or 88 maybe, I don't know, but it's out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is worth
watching. No one's ever made a film of a sequel, though, which it seems a shame. Even though I only read the sequel, but I'm expecting more of the same. So
I wonder, is there a film about, like, killer snails? I mean, if there's one about slugs, surely there'd be one about snails.
Not that I've heard of.
No.
But
yeah, if anybody knows, let us know. I'd watch it.
I'd be all over that. But yeah, those, I mean, as I say, not too many 80s films in the last 2 months. I will try and up the game. So the more I see, the more I have to talk about. But yeah, that was my viewing.
Hmm? Is there anything else? I've got one more thing left to finish off.
I've got one more thing, actually.
Go on. Go for it, mate.
Well, in the last couple of months, this isn't really 80s related, so I suppose it's good at the end. I have become obsessed with Vinted. My God, where was this? You know, like, I'm a person who used to sell, like, American Blu-rays I didn't really want on eBay. And it's just like, by the time you sold one for 20 quid, say, and you want to make sure it's sent and, you know, not just got lost in a post, you lose 6 or 7 quid in postage. And here's Vinted, where it's like, you want to sell it for 20 quid, you sell it for 20 quid, and the person who's buying it pays the fees.
Yeah.
And the postage. And all you do, package it on up, chuck it in a locker, and you're off.
It's good, isn't it?
It's incredible. I have made I've got 10 more things to list, because obviously I'm not like selling everything, there's quite a lot of stuff I wanted to get rid of, and I'm just like, I cannot be bothered with eBay, because I'd just be, you know, I wouldn't be making much off of it. If I sell the 10 things I've got left at the price I wanted to, I'll have made about 500 quid on there.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's just brilliant. It's just so good. It's turned into such a little hobby. Like, I've had a little box with, like, I bought some cardboard mailers off Amazon for like 6 or 7 quid. I've got some like brown tape. I've got some tape to bubble wrap, all of this, little bits of cardboard. Keeping, you know, when I buy stuff off there, keeping the packaging and all of that so you can reuse it. And yeah, I've had a nice old time in the last couple of months, like, selling stuff. I have bought a lot as well. I've sort of,
that's the thing,
like,
isn't it, on there? Yeah, because you always see things.
Yeah, I've been collecting Stephen King paperbacks for ages, so I filled in a few gaps there. I've started to collect the Terry Pratchett Discworld books, but the little paperback versions of them, because I've got loads of room.
Yeah.
And yeah, got loads of them. Sean Hudson that you mentioned, I've got a load of his books. Dean Koontz, the Point Horror, 90s teen horror books, got loads of those. And they're just in these bulk things. And the best one I got was, I think it was 21 James Herbert books for like £11.
Oh, bargain.
Because people, sometimes people just want rid of the stuff. And they
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, let's get it right. Even selling it for that is better than just, you know, putting it all in the bin or wherever.
Yeah, yeah, you'll get something from it. Yeah. So, but yeah, I've got way too many books to read now. But yeah, it's been great. I've just got some. I got a great purchase yesterday. A Murder, She Wrote board game.
Really?
Yes, I've got that coming. I've got a Columbo bath mat.
That's so cool.
Yeah, the algorithm is a little too good sometimes because it really like, you're like, oh man, what is this?
Tempting you with all this Columbo stuff, and
it is, yeah. But as I said, I'm nearing the end of my selling stuff for now. But it's been a nice little hobby. You can see why people get so into it, and you know, can live off of it in some.
Oh yeah, there's people that do. There's people that do. You know, make almost a business of it and just buy and sell.
I went to a friend and I went to the Pimlico car boot sale yesterday, like a huge car boot sale in London. And people will go to stuff like that and, you know, they'll buy stuff and then they'll take it back home and sell it on Vinted for more.
Yeah. You know? Fair play to that. If you can do it, do it. Yeah. It is
great app.
But it is another rabbit hole once you start. And like you said, with the algorithm, I found that the algorithm on it is really good. And you only, even if... Like if you press on, you go, oh, that's interesting. And you'll click on it and you'll look. And let's say, for example, oh, I don't know, a used Sylvester Stallone thong. And just purely as an example, never looked at it, really.
Yeah, of course not.
Don't know. And then you'll go back and you'll type in board games. And then in amongst the board games, there'll be like other Sylvester Stallone underwear and related things to do. It's like, oh, you clicked on that once and had a look. How about this? Which in some cases it's all right, but in the others it's just, I know, I just want to look at board games. Stop showing me Sylvester Stallone's underwear. For
you
now, at
never
least.
Said that.
Well, yeah. Until I type in the Sylvester Stallone's underwear.
The thing at the moment I've seen now, I'm getting a lot of DVDs in my feed, like actual like DVDs, which I'm not really got that interested. I don't know, it's because I've sold a couple or what, but people's like, they are selling DVD, like they did not get a memo that these things are worthless now. And I mean, there's some collectors that, like,
yeah, of course,
like that, but like some of them, I was just like, they were selling like Rush Hour 2 on DVD for a tenner. It's just like, you're not going to sell that.
Like, no, surely not.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. I mean, I know you can make offers, which is what I do half the time, but do a nice little haggle. But specifically if DVDs, I'm like, who knows these are, like, no one buys these anymore.
The only ones is things that have never come out on Blu-ray.
That came out
on DVD. Ones like that, fair enough. But yeah, other than that, like Rush Hour 2 for £10, just no thank you. No. Right, I got one more thing left, mate.
Yes,
one more thing, and this is for the listener at home to join in, because it's a little quizzy, mate. A little quizzy. I thought I'll pop one of these in each show, and we can just between us, you know, I'll let you guess. And I know, because we've done similar in the past, that you're not going to cheat the next time, because it's going to stay to the same formula. So I know you won't look ahead. But and hopefully, listeners, don't you cheat either, because you'll know the formula, which I'm going to explain in a minute. Just see how many you can get. It's going to be more difficult if you're outside of the UK, because I'm going to be looking at this date 40 years ago, and what were the top 10 UK singles and what were the top 10 UK movies that were in the charts. So it's April the 27th, 1986. Could you guess any, and everybody listening, any of the top 10 singles in the UK? April the 27th, 1986. And I'm looking.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't get any if I had to guess. but there's only one sort of, you go, oh, that's kind of a big song. For me, at least, I'm sure when I say the titles, there'll be people going, oh, that's a big one, that's a big one. But I'd be amazed if you could guess one of them, mate, really. And if anybody listening, if let us know if you guess any of these without cheating, of course, send us an email. Let us know how many you get.
Okay, I'm trying to think of 86. Mm. So I was playing a card game, which is like put the movies and the albums in the right chronological order when they came out.
Okay.
With a friend the other day, and there was one song. I feel that it would have probably come out later than April in 1986. It's definitely a 1986 song, but it's the only one I can think of off the top of my head, and that's the Final Countdown.
Not on this. Not a top 10 single on this day. Yeah.
Probably later. Okay, movie. I don't know why this is the film that came into my head for 1986. Because what weird year. Like 1987, I could name a bunch. 1985, I could name a bunch. 1982, I'd be here all day listening. Platoon? That was 1986, wasn't it?
It might have been, but it wasn't in the top 10 for April.
Arnie. What was Arnie up to? Was that Raw Deal? Was that 86?
Could have been, but not on the list.
I'm just trying to think of the our guys. I'm looking at Invasion USA. That was 85.
It's tricky. Again,
there weren't any Bonds. There weren't any Back to the Futures. There's no Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Really can't. Because 86, nothing's like jumps out. It's like, oh, 1986. I mean, I'm sure there's loads of great films that came out.
Oh, yeah, but... yeah, yeah. But trying to get them.
And as for music.
The music one's really tricky. It's the hardest.
Living on a Prayer wasn't 1986, was it? So I was just trying to think of... No, God, no. We could be here all night. It could go long. So,
well, anybody listening, take your time, have a think about it. Let us know
have
how
a
many.
Pause.
Have a yeah. If you do get any, let me know, because even if you get one, I'm going to be so impressed. So anything one or over, let us know, and let us know which ones you got. So April 27th, 86, top 10 UK singles, number 10, Whitney Houston, The Greatest Love of All.
Okay.
Number 9 was Level 42, Lessons in Love. 8 was Big Country, Look Away. 7 was 5-Star, Can't Wait Another Minute. 6 was Queen, A Kind of Magic. I'd say that's the biggest song.
Oh, yeah.
Number 5, and I doubt anybody outside the UK will get this. Again, if you did, bonus points for this one. The cast of Grange Hill, Just Say No.
God, I thought that was earlier.
Ah, Madonna at 4, Live to Tell.
Oh, that's a... Yeah. Can I slip in with At Close Range? It's a film.
I'm just looking at... No, it's not listed on this.
Fuck's sake.
Janet Jackson at 3, What Have You Done For Me Lately? Falco at 2 with Rock Me Amadeus, and at number one, George Michael, A Different Corner.
A Different Corner? I've never heard of that one.
I don't know that one. I don't know it.
I mean, apart from maybe Falco and...
Falco and Queen, I'd say.
Falco and Queen, yeah. If I'd said any of those, you'd have just been like, yeah, you just looked it up.
Yeah, yeah. They were the two when you go, possibly. The top 10 movies. Number 10, Jagged Edge.
Okay.
9, Clockwise.
Oh, yeah.
8, Down and Out in Beverly Hills, which was a 1986 re-release. Number 7, Back to the Future, and it's got Holdover, so that must have been...
Oh, from 85, yeah.
Yeah. 6, The Jewel of the Nile. Number 5, Rocky IV.
Yeah, I was thinking this as soon as you started. I was just like, yeah, because we get... You know, the UK got films quite delayed. So something came out near the end of 85. I need to think about that next time.
Mm. 4, Gung Ho. Do you know Gung Ho? I don't know it.
Gung Ho.
Yeah, no. I don't know that one. 3 is Out of Africa. 2, The Money Pit. And at number 1, Police Academy 3, Back in Training.
It was a franchise. Yeah. Like, similarly, if I'd said any of those, you'd have called bullshit. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
interesting. Yeah. Wow. If anyone listening got any of those, you know, I'm thinking Queen, Falco, maybe one of those, like the Back to the Future and Rocky ones, because of a holdover, you know, the delay that we'd have had getting them. If someone said a different corner of George Michael, then you're obviously a George Michael fan. But
yeah, and the winner of this quiz, most definitely with that, because that was pretty bloody difficult.
If someone was just like Gung Ho,
yeah, Gung Ho, yeah, I'm gonna have to look up what Gung Ho is when we finish recording because I don't know it.
See if
it's worth watching or not. Maybe
we could be talking about it next time.
We could be that awesome movie, Gung Ho.
yeah, we've loved it for so long.
Yeah. Right, that's about it for this one, mate.
Well, yeah, that wraps everyone up. We just slid into right at the end of April.
We did.
Yeah, just before the end of a month. So we'll be back in June.
It will be June. Yeah. Summer months.
Summer's here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not yet, but it will be by the time we
speak. The E.T. special.
The E.T. edition. My God. Unbelievable. Still can't believe it.
I know. Take it in. I know you'll probably wake up in the middle of tonight just like in a cold sweat, screaming. It's like, no, I dreamt it. Couldn't be true. He's actually going to watch E.T.
Oh, yeah, you'll get a message tomorrow. But like, we serious?
Yeah. You weren't just joking, but yeah. We shall chat about that. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right. Everybody listening, thank you for listening. Let us know how you did on the quiz. The best thing you can do for us is share the show. Tell your friends. Share us online. Leave us a review somewhere if you've got a few minutes. We haven't had a review online that I've seen. Oh, my God. For a good 2021 or something. We went through a spate of them.
It's just... not enough people keeping their subscriptions active.
No, keep those subscriptions active. I'm glad you reminded me, mate.
Keep those subscriptions active.
So, share us, tell your friends, and leave us a review. And that would be very nice of you. Thank you very much. We will be back with another show all about the 80s in 2 months' time. Between then, there's the usual 60MW plethora of shows for your ears. So, keep listening. And... we'll go and watch some movies now, then, mate.
Maybe.
Right. It's that cheerio time.
Oh, I thought that was it.
No. You've got to say goodbye.
Goodbye. I can hate it, man. Nothing changes. My God, E.T.
How about that, mate?
Unreal.
What if a meal before Antina will go, you're doing it on purpose? And I'll be like, but I've just pooed myself. I can't go to the cinema. I've got pooed.
You'll go, Dave. I don't care if you stink that place out.
Even with shitty pants, you're going to go and sit in that cinema.
Sit in it.
Yeah, I'm interested as well, because it's a nighttime showing. How many people will be there as well?
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing a lot will go, oh, I've seen E.T., I've seen it so many times, or, you know, I've got it on whatever, Blu-ray or anything, or I can watch it on the streaming, and so they won't bother going to the cinema for it. But, yeah. What if I burst into tears? What if I'm just so emotional all the way through it and just...
You might be.
...crying and just, I can't take anymore.
What took me so long?
Yeah, oh my God, all those years of not watching it. I could have seen it so many times.
You could have. No, we'll see. I really, like I said, I really don't know what you'll think of it.
E.T. Oh.